This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome back to Ask Ready or Not. I'm Loz and I'm here to answer your questions about how to make work work. Today's episode is a direct response to a listener question, and honestly, it is one that so many of you will relate to. Here is what they wrote. I have just finished my third week back at paid work. I had a year off with my son. I've been at my workplace for 8 years, COVID, long conception journey, etc. And while I'm keen to find a new opportunity, I do feel a bit stuck. If it helps for context, my role has changed and I have taken on more responsibilities over the year at the company. I guess I feel a bit stuck in the role, the company, and the industry, so I'm keen for pointers on how to start looking elsewhere. I have seen small pay rises over the years and I know that I am being underpaid for the role. People always say that job hunting is the best way to get pay rises. However, even before this role, it's not something that I did, and I find the whole process of looking and interviewing for new work incredibly stressful. Help. Do you have any advice? Okay, so let's unpack this one because there is so much in here. First of all, you are not alone in feeling stuck after mat leave. So many people go through this. I went through this myself. It is such a common experience. And I think that a lot of it comes down to two things. So number one, you've changed. Your life looks a lot different now. Your priorities have shifted and you've seen your work through most likely a new lens. And number two, your role has changed, but not necessarily in a way that benefits you. So you may have taken on more responsibility, like you said, but it doesn't sound like that's come with a proper promotion or salary adjustment. So it makes sense that you're feeling stuck. But the good news is you do have options. So let's break it down into a bit of a plan so that you feel clear, you've got some clarity, and you don't feel really overwhelmed with what to do next. And I should say here, sometimes what to do next is to stay where you're at. Like, I have to be honest, maybe you have a look and you weigh up the options and you're like, okay, for this point in time, I'm going to stay where I am. I'm not necessarily perfectly happy in my role, but it's good enough for the time being. And that is also totally fine. First up, get clear on what you want and what's not working. So before you dive into job applications or start booking recruiter calls, let's clarify the problem because feeling stuck can mean a whole lot of different things. So take a moment to ask yourself, is it boredom? Do you feel like you're not learning or growing anymore? Is it burnout? Are you taking on too much and not getting enough reward for it? Is it financial? So you know you're being underpaid and that's a real sticking point for you. Like, it's just driving you insane. Is it a lack of flexibility? So do you need a better setup for your new family life? Is it bigger than just the job? So are you craving a whole new industry or career direction? I found personally after mat leave, I had this like wave of creativity and it felt like for me personally, it was a bunch of those different things. So I was a bit bored, I wanted more money and I was like, I just need a bit of a shake up. So if you're in the same boat, totally fine. Once you get clear on what is really making you feel stuck, the next steps become a lot easier. Because now, instead of saying, I don't know what to do, I feel really stuck, you can say, I need to find a role that challenges me more. I need to push for a pay rise before I even consider leaving. I need a workplace that is going to support flexibility better. This clarity will make everything less overwhelming. Second up, explore internal opportunities before jumping ship. Because you've been at your workplace for 8 years, which is a bloody long time, I want to make sure that you exhaust all your internal options first, especially since job hunting, from what you said, is going to be quite stressful. So here's how to approach it. Number one, I don't know if I would call it a career chat, but book maybe a development conversation with your manager. Frame it as a discussion about your growth in the company. This is very different from asking for a pay rise outright. So it's about career development, learning opportunities and progression, as opposed to being like, I want more money. List your additional responsibilities. So within that conversation, make it super clear that your role has evolved, whether that be over the months that you've been back from mat leave, or perhaps it's a longer period of time, potentially years, where you acknowledge that it's changed from this to that and you've received small incremental pay rises. But today, this is currently what it looks like, and really frame it in a way that's clear to your manager of how much is on your plate. I'd also consider a lateral move. If there is no promotion available, is there another department or is there another area within the organization where your skills would be better suited? So sometimes a sideways move can reinvigorate your career without needing to start from scratch elsewhere. And if that team is open to working with you and your manager is, that's great. But if they brush you off or make excuses, that could be your sign that it's time to start looking elsewhere. Number three, start the job search, preferably without the stress. You mentioned that job searching and interviewing felt incredibly stressful, and I totally get it. Most of us only start job hunting when we already feel super burnt out, making it feel urgent and overwhelming, but try to approach it differently. So let's make job hunting a slow, low-pressure process by breaking it down into tiny, manageable steps. Try this. Week one, update your LinkedIn and resume. No applications, just refresh your info. Keep a super light touch. Week two, set up job alerts for roles that may match your skills. Let the opportunities come to you. I find that looking for roles can become really overwhelming, particularly with PDs these days. They can be so wishy-washy, or they can have so many skills required that as women, often we say, I can't do half of that, when you can, or you meet 80% of the criteria and you discount yourself immediately. So set up a job alert. That way jobs are going to come to you as opposed to searching. Maybe in week three, you reach out to one or two people within your network and reconnect with former colleagues about opportunities at their workplaces or people that they may know that are looking for people like yourself. And then week number four, apply for just one role that actually excites you. So this approach is going to stop you from spiraling into panic mode, and it'll keep the process in your control. I don't know, people say this all the time, but it is often easier to look for a role when you're already in one, mainly from the perspective that you don't have that additional pressure of being like, shit, I need money, or you can take the time and maybe take a sick day or take a carer's day or whatever it is that you need to take for your own mental health and be like, you know what? I'm not enjoying this. I've got leave sitting there, which you most likely do. And I'm going to take the day to really reevaluate what I want. It feels a lot more calm. Step number four is tackle the pay gap. Try and tackle this with data and not emotion. I'm a massive data person. And you're right. Job hopping is often the fastest way to fix that. If you know that you're underpaid, let's explore all of your options before you walk. So here's how to negotiate where you are before leaving. One, research salary benchmarks. Websites like Glassdoor or industry salary guides will help you set a realistic range. Number two, book a separate pay review meeting. Do not lump this into your career chat. This needs to be its own conversation. And number three, present your case like a business case. I know this sounds a bit naff, but instead of saying, I've taken on so much more work and I think I deserve a pay rise and blah, 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 say, based on market rates and my increased responsibilities, I'd like to discuss aligning my salary to better reflect my contributions. Remove the fluff. If they push back, which naturally a lot of people will, the one question that you can ask is what would need to change for my salary to be adjusted? Place the ball back in their court. This is going to force your manager or your employer to be transparent about whether they actually can give you a raise or if they're just avoiding it. And then step number five, reframe how you see job hopping. This person mentioned that they've never been someone who job hops, and I get it. There is a lot of job security in staying put. But again, let's look at the data. So the average tenure in an Australian job is about 3 years. So you've been in yours for 8. You're not a flight risk. You're probably overdue for a move. Job movers in Australia see an average salary increase of 10 to 20%. That's a massive stat. So if you're staying put, your raises are usually around, I want to say 3% per year. So if you're looking to jump, that 10 to 20%, that's a massive difference over time. I am not saying jump every 3 years, but I am saying you are right. How you're feeling is valid. If you've been there for 8 years and you're feeling undervalued and underpaid, statistically, you may be. And you're not starting over. And that's the last point I really wanted to make sure that you're aware of. You are not a graduate anymore. So you're bringing years of experience with you. It's not as if when you're applying for a new job, you're applying for the very bottom of the food chain like you did when you were first year out of uni. You're applying for what you're worth. And if you're valuing yourself more than what you're getting paid, you should be applying for the jobs that you think you're worthy of. If you have never changed jobs before, it can feel super daunting, but I promise you that once it is done, you're going to realize that it's really not that scary. And more importantly, you'll probably wonder why you didn't do it sooner. So if you are feeling stuck, this is your sign that something needs to change. Best way to do that is to make it feel manageable. Here's an action plan, like a bit of a summary of what we've spoken about. Write down exactly what's making you feel stuck. Book a career development chat with your manager. Update your LinkedIn and your resume. There's absolutely no pressure to apply it. It never hurts to update your LinkedIn. It's always a good process to do annually. Set up job alerts. These are confidential. No one is going to see that you're doing it so that you can start seeing what's out there and reframe how you see job moves. It is not about instability. It's about growth. You don't need to have all the answers today. Maybe just start with one small step and you have got this. Sometimes after reevaluating, you may circle back. Lou loves that I say that word. You may come back and think to yourself, do you know what? For the time being, I'm just going to stay where I am. I'm not saying that you're going to coast, but you're probably thinking to yourself, I'm going to stay where I am. Just be happy with A, B, C, D and let the other kind of things slide. But if you come back and you've reevaluated and you're like, do you know what? I'm actually miserable. This isn't serving me anymore. I've been here for 8 years. I'm starting to feel undervalued and I don't want to move into a territory where you're resentful or where you start to contribute to a bit of a toxic culture, because that's not good for anyone's mental health. If you're in that second bucket, now is as good a time as any. We're still in quarter one of the year to start looking and applying for roles. It doesn't have to be done overnight, but you can take your time and just use the things that I've spoken about in this episode of Ask Ready or Not to make you feel a bit more confident, to put one foot in front of the other, essentially. That is it for this episode of Ask Ready or Not. If you've loved it, please follow the show and leave a review. Helps us reach way more working mums like yourself. And if you have any questions, please submit them. I love to research and answer them. Otherwise, see you next time.